Tammy Yap joins you this morning. She is your dentist with the mostest this morning to talk about a part of the body that almost makes me feel icky to say, Tammy. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Libby.
Who's going to say it first?
Oh, we're going to be talking tongues this morning.
such a word, isn't it? Like tongue. Tongue. It's just got that icky. Do you like them?
Oh, well, you know, because of my job, I do look at a great deal of tongues, and I have a special fondness for tongues, actually.
Really?
Yes, I do. I look at a lot of them during the week. And
do all tongues look the same?
They definitely don't. Everyone's tongue is unique. Mm. But nobody's tongue, to most people's eyes, is actually very pretty. So a tongue should be a little bit icky looking.
What is a tongue made of? In terms of the fabrics that are used within the body, is a tongue made of the same stuff that's on the inside of your cheek or your, you know, inside of your orifices? Or what is a tongue? Because it regenerates and it heals so quickly.
That's right. Well, actually, the tongue is a very strong muscle, but it is covered by skin, like all other parts of the body, but it's made from inner skin. And it's got very special skin with different surfaces. So as you can tell, the top of it often looks very carpet-like, whereas the underside of it's very smooth and you can see the blood vessels through that.
So glossy.
Yeah, that's right. And that's probably gives it that sort of icky look. There's actually different regions of the tongue that everybody has, and it changes just naturally from the bottom to the top. And that's the same for everybody.
Tell me about the different, like, is a tongue like a foot whereby you can connect different parts of the tongue to other parts of the body? You know, that it does different things?
Wouldn't that be useful?
Yes, you could do tongue reflexology.
That's right, and people do. But I think the most important thing about the tongue is that it does many, many things for us. It helps us to speak. It helps us to move our food around our mouth, helps us to taste, helps us to do a lot of things. All very mysterious because we don't tend to look at our tongue very much. But a healthy tongue should have a nice carpet-like surface on the top. And if you look very closely at it, you can actually see little structures that look like mini mushrooms. And both these structures that look like carpet hairs as well as these mushrooms are called papillae.
Ooh, how delicious.
Yes. And
do different parts of the tongue do different things? Like does the front of the papillae do different things to the back?
Well, the design of the tongue varies throughout the regions. The front two-thirds is pretty carpet-like, whereas the back area has other special structures as it changes to become part of the throat. But actually, the only areas that are involved with the taste buds are the small mushroom-like areas, which can be throughout the tongue as well as the sides. So the tongue is pretty it works as a unit, and there are not specific areas that do specific things.
Right. Where's the tasting bits?
Yeah, so there are little areas in these crypts. So if you look at these little structures called papillae, the ones that look like mushrooms, on the sides of the mushrooms, I guess the stem of the mushroom, you have special nerve endings that convey taste to the brain.
Okay. And can they be damaged?
Well, all parts of the tongue are covered with skin, and skin can be damaged.
Okay.
And a lot of conditions that involve the tongue may appear as changes in the skin of the tongue. But in general, tongues take pretty good care of themselves.
Bit sit and forget-ish.
Yes.
What can you tell about your general health from the look of your tongue?
Yes. So tongues in general take pretty good care of themselves. But because the skin in the mouth is one of the types of tissues in the body that turns over quickly, so it's constantly being renewed, if there's something going on with the body, it often pops up in the skin of the mouth first. And of course, the area of the mouth that you can see from the outside is often your tongue because you can poke it out. So if you are someone who is unwell or is very heavily deficient in, say, a vitamin, it may change the shape of the skin on the tongue.
The shape of the skin on the tongue.
Yes. So those carpet-like hairs may actually change levels and begin to look thinner, or the skin may become ulcerated. However, tongues are very strange-looking organs, and most of the time they're going okay.
Okay. What if it's white?
So most of the time when it's white, people think it's due to yeast, And most people will actually go to the doctor to ask for something to be treated for that yeast. But the more common cause of tongues looking really white is actually those little carpet hairs getting too long. And that can happen if you haven't been eating a lot of roughage, or you've been a little bit unwell, or your mouth has been a bit drier than usual. Those little carpet hairs that usually get exfoliated, they can get really long and they can catch things. So depending on what type of bacteria you have in your mouth, or whether you're using a particular mouthwash with the color, you can get it can look very thick and white, or it can look dark and black, or it can even look green.
So how do you fix that?
The most important thing is to not panic and to actually recognize that there may have been sort of an event in the past week of you not being well, which may have changed your mouth care as well as way have you been eating. Actually, just to return to normal life and include nice roughage containing foods in your diet. So just eating well.
All right. So what if you've got a pink tongue?
Actually, we want your tongue to be pink. We want it to be pink. We don't want it to be too smooth, and we don't want it to be too red.
What if it's got spots on it?
Spots can be caused by lots of different reasons. Actually, the most common cause is a special condition called geographic tongue, where the carpet hairs actually change length and you can see a pattern that changes on the top of the tongue. I think it's absolutely beautiful because I like tongues. and I like to think of it a little bit like curly hair in that, not everybody has it, but it's nice and it's okay.
Okay, I haven't even opened up the board for calls yet, but I can hear that people have questions that they might like to ask you about their tongues, because Cameron has already called in.
Sure.
So let's just pop Cameron up. Hi, Cameron.
Hi.
Morning. How are you?
Hi, Cameron.
Really good, thank you.
Yourself? You wanted to ask about your tongue?
Oh, I'd love to hear about you on a Sunday morning.
I'm very glad.
Now, yes. Mm. I heard it mentioned the other day that somebody saying, oh, I've just got my new Indian tongue scraper, which they were saying is really good because it scrapes an amazing amount of mucus off your tongue and refreshens your sense of taste and your tongue's ability to motivate and regulate your digestive systems, which sounded kind of interesting, but I don't know if that's just rubbish and I've got no idea. Is that any of that, any logical sense to any of that or what?
Are there utensils that can regenerate tongue cells?
Is there any point in doing that?
Yeah.
Well, as mentioned, your tongue takes pretty good care of itself as long as you're eating well and keeping healthy. You don't have to specifically scrape your tongue every day, but there are lots of products out there that are designed for tongue scraping. My concern is that people get a bit too exuberant and start to actually scratch their tongue, and that can make your tongue very sensitive because it is one of the most sensitive areas of the body.
Right. Can I ask you about tongue kissing?
Oh, I don't even know if I will know about tongue kissing. You mean kissing with tongues?
Yes. Kissing with tongues. What is that all about?
I support it.
Same tongue kissing. Do you have a question about your tongue? Are you obsessed with your tongue? Dr. Tammy Yap, who's a dentist, says that people are obsessed by their tongues.
They sure are.
They look at it too often, or?
Yeah, I think that people end up looking at their tongue too often, and it's very scary to look at your tongue a bit too much.
Angela is our first caller. Hi, Angela.
G'day and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Angela, tell us about your tongue.
Well, 2 years ago I got the death flu, a really horrible flu, and when it was sort of halfway through the flu, I noticed that my tongue tasted everything was burnt. And it lasted for months before it sort of started to get slowly better. And I wondered always, why did I have that really burnt, plastic burnt taste for everything I ate?
That's a fantastic question. There is actually a very mysterious condition, and we call it burning mouth syndrome, actually. And it can affect quite a number of people. Probably about 1 to 2% of the population will experience a burning tongue. The reason that we think this is because the body dedicates a lot of nerve endings to the tongue. It's probably one of our most sensitive areas of the body. So some people can develop this sort of oversensitivity of the nerves of the tongue, often following a period of stress to the body. And that might be illness stress. It can be psychological stress. Or sometimes it just happens without really having a specific event being identifiable. But people often describe the sense that their tongue feels burnt, even though it looks normal.
When you say feels burnt, does that mean it feels hot or does it taste charcoal-y? Because that's what you're saying, isn't it, Angela? Everything tastes charcoal-y.
Not charcoal-y, like a burnt, almost like if you smelled a really horrible burnt industrial plastic taste.
Oh.
It's horrible.
Yeah, so often people will describe a sourness or a roughness or really just saying like as if they've just had a whole bunch of chilies that their mouth feels like it's on fire. It doesn't necessarily just include the tongue. It can go also to the gums and the palate.
Mm.
So I do meet a lot of people who have this condition. And the first thing that's important is to make sure that the skin in the mouth is healthy and that it is not a problem with the skin in the mouth. And we might test some vitamins to make sure that everything's well balanced. But sometimes we're left over with this mysterious condition. And the first thing that's really important to understand is that it's not a dangerous condition in itself,
mm-hmm.
although it can be very distracting and can affect people. So I'm really glad to hear, Angela, that it's gotten better because sometimes it can hang around for a little while, but sometimes it will just fade away by itself.
But apart, so it could be self-correcting.
Yes.
But if it's not self-correcting, are there things you can do?
Yes, that's right. We often aim firstly at making sure that the mouth is well hydrated and that the what we call the pH or the acidity balance is correct. Because when your mouth is very dry, it usually is more acidic. So we make sure that you know everyone's cleaning their teeth well and keeping well hydrated. But we do sometimes use some medications that actually calm down the nerve endings.
Quell things somewhat.
Yes.
Phil, your turn.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
We're well, thank you.
Yeah, very well. So before you were talking about geographic tongue.
Yes.
And you said it was quite beautiful. I tend to disagree. But I have a bit of geographic tongue and it comes and goes. And,
yes.
Lasts for longer and shorter time.
Yes.
But when I have it, I'm particularly sensitive to acid and chili and those kind of things.
Yes.
Is there anything we could do during those periods to minimise that effect?
Okay, can I just jump in and can you recap exactly what geographical tongue is, Tammy?
Yes, so it is a condition that not everybody has, where the pattern of the tongue is not the same throughout the tongue. So you can get almost like little crop circles on the tongue where the hairs are a bit shorter. And it's usually, as Phil described, those areas where the little hairs are shorter that can be a bit more sensitive. What I would recommend, Phil, is that it may be good to actually include something with your spicy foods that's a little bit what we call basic, so something that's maybe yogurt-based or milk-based and have that yeah. with your spicy foods. And you may find that that is very helpful. My condolences, but I do love a geographic tongue.
Because it looks pretty.
I think it's yeah. beautiful.
I had one dentist that was fascinated by it and would take photos of it.
Right, see if it'll form a letter or something.
With his hand in your mouth going, just, you know, say, ah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Thanks, Phil. All I wonder what tongue piercings do to your tongue. Well, just how your tongue works. What does a tongue piercing do?
Yeah, well, I guess it is a bit of a style thing.
Hang on. Let's see. Got a question
yeah.
that's right here.
Here
is it Kayla? Hi, Kayla.
Kyla,
hi.
Hi, Kyla.
Good morning, ladies. How
morning.
Are you?
Morning.
Have you got a tongue piercing?
I do, and I do have a question, but just before I ask you, I want to let you know that when I started listening to this segment, I just got back in my car from the chemist and I was poking my tongue out in my rearview mirror. And the people in the car next to me obviously weren't listening to the same segment and they thought it was pretty hilarious.
You know what? If you're listening in the car and you're pulled up at lights or something, just look at the person next to you and just stick your tongue out.
Yeah.
And then I want you to call me on 1300 222 774 and tell me if people are sticking their tongues out all over Victoria. That would be so much fun. Do you remember, Carla, I don't know whether you're a regular listener, but once we made all of Victoria itch just by talking about having lice, everybody just started itching. So let's just start a little bit. Send us a text if you're sticking your tongue out, 0437 774 774. Tell us about your tongue piercing, Carla.
I've had my tongue pierced since I was 18. I actually used to have two. And my question is that my grandmother, she used to tell me that because it was in the centre of sort of a centre of alignment of my body, that it would mess with my health.
Ooh.
And I was just wondering if there was any anything to verify that.
This is the question that I asked about reflexology, whether or not your tongue actually is connected to your chakra or whatever. Tammy?
Yes, that's right. I'm not a good chakra expert, unfortunately. But I must say, I think the most dangerous thing about having the tongue piercing is the actual placement of it in the first place, because it's a bit of tiger country. There's lots of big blood vessels, and they do bleed a lot if you get in the wrong spot.
Right.
I would say that the main sort of danger with tongue piercings is that you end up knocking bits of your teeth off if you are wearing metal piercings.
Studs.
Because metal is pretty hard, and you know tongues move a lot, and then you're chewing, and you sometimes can catch them between your teeth. So I would see that a lot as a general dentist. But I don't think it's going to put the rest of your body in danger if once it's in there and you've stopped bleeding.
Why do you like it, Carla?
I've just gotten used to it over the years. I've had it for about 14 years now, and I don't know. I took it out for a couple of years, and it just ended up back in. And I don't know. It's fun to play with, I guess.
Would it heal itself up? Just say Carla took it out. Would it heal?
Oh, it's hard to say. It's hard to say whether it's scarred to a point where it wouldn't. But I don't imagine that the hole would be very big.
Do things get caught in it, Carla?
Occasionally. Maybe if I'm eating something with little bits of sugar on it. I've had a little bit of sugar trapped down there, and it's quite painful. But other than that, no, not at all. I do have plastic balls on the top, so it hasn't affected my teeth too badly.
Okay, good.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Carla.
See, Carla, stick your tongue out. Stick your tongue out and give us a call and tell me if anyone sticks it out.
I don't think I'll do that again.
Okay. Bye.
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 Jeannie, your turn. Hi, Jeannie.
Oh, hi. Yes. It's a little story about my strange tongue.
Oh, good.
Yes. Many years ago, I used to get a lot of calcium in my body. And one time, it's called a duct underneath your tongue. It's like not a feathered one, you know, a little duck.
Yeah, duct.
And it got blocked. So I had to go into hospital and had to open up my mouth, and I had to squeeze lemon juice into my mouth to enlarge it so they get these little tubes down. Anyway, the last procedure I had, I had to go into theatre where I had to get it out, but this doctor came along with a camera. And said that my mouth will be in a medical journal, so I'm famous.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That's great.
I thought I recognised that duct. Thank you, Jeannie. Nice to know you've got a strange tongue. Are you at home or are you in the car? Now, where are you now?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I'm sitting on my bed, not even dressed yet.
Oh, too much information, Jeannie.
It's too cold.
Just stick your tongue out at me and wave.
Okay,
bye.
There you go.
Great, excellent. Queenie, is it Queenie or is it Gwen? Hi, Gwen.
It's Gwen.
Hi, Gwen. Your
Good
turn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Just got a query about tongue tie regarding breastfeeding. What's your feelings on it?
Oh, wow. I did think that this topic would come up.
You did?
I did, actually, because in the last couple of months there's been a bit of it in the news.
But the babies haven't got teeth.
No, they don't. So the idea was that there's a little tag that goes from the bottom of the tongue to the bottom of your mouth. And it was thought that for some babies, if that's too tight, they actually will not latch well and will not breastfeed well. But the evidence so far shows that there's no, strong support that it it predictably helps with breastfeeding, although it may help with symptoms of mum. There are dangers with cutting and lasering babies' mouths. So my opinion on that is that without there being sort of strong evidence that it is going to be helpful, I think that the dangers of having a procedure need to be weighed up and discussed. I think that assessment should be with a pediatrician or with a medical specialist to decide whether that is actually something that should be pursued.
Mm. Yeah. What is tongue tie?
Yes, exactly. So the tongue tie is when that little flap of skin under the tongue is actually very short, very tight, and actually keeps the tongue from being lifted up. Now, you'll actually see that many people do actually have a tongue tie and they don't have effects on their speech or their eating. But it has been sort of thought, and maybe a little bit too exuberantly, that it is the cause of babies being slow to feed.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Could I just say, I'm a lactation consultant and a midwife, and certainly when I've had patients with difficult latching and sore nipples and damaged nipples, and look in a baby's mouth, and they have got a significant tongue tie, when they do get snipped by a professional, the mother's comfort increases instantly as far as her nipples. And
what does it do to the tongue though to have it snipped?
Because of the fimbula, the little tissue that holds the tongue down, which causes a tongue tie, it means the baby can't advance its tongue over its lower lip, so therefore the baby's latch to the breast isn't as good.
Right.
Because when a baby latches well to the breast, its tongue should be over the lower lip to get a good latch.
Mm.
And it depends on the degree. I mean, some tongue ties don't cause problems at all. And some women don't have any issues, but those that do have issues have found significant release and comfort to continue breastfeeding.
Gwen.
Otherwise, some women will actually stop breastfeeding because the pain's too much.
What a great call. Thank you, Gwen.
Great. Thanks, Gwen.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you threw that knowledge into our communal bucket. Excellent. Thank
you.
Thanks, Gwen.
Bye. Have a lovely Sunday. Bye. Mary. Ah.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
All right, thank you.
Tell us.
I was wondering if there's any reason for getting eosinophilic ulcers on the tongues. I've been getting them for 4 years.
Have you got some on your tongue now?
No, it's just getting better, actually. But, I ended up in hospital though, I was so bad.
Because
I couldn't swallow and drink and all that sort of thing.
So are you asking what causes them?
Yeah.
What does cause them, Tammy?
Well, Mary, that sounds like a very troublesome problem. I hope that you are having somebody who's taking care of you to help you along the way with them. So eosinophilic ulcers is a term that's referred to a type of ulcer where essentially the healing of the body gets stuck and you get this persistent ulcer that lasts for a very long time. There are lots of different causes of ulcers in the mouth, so I think it is important to consider whether it is a eosinophilic ulcer or one of the...
Well, it has been biopsied twice.
Okay.
And they have said that's what it was.
Yes. So, I mean, if you want a specific opinion, I like to inject them with steroids and they tend to get better. I think that that is definitely something that you need to discuss with your specialist.
Dentist or GP or... What sort of person?
Yes, so a specialist would be good. So either someone like myself, an oral medicine specialist, or a maxillofacial surgeon would be a good option to go to as well. Not all general dentists are very comfortable treating oral ulceration. But I think that it does sound like, Mary, you do have someone who has been assessing you, and so it may be worth returning to discuss some treatment options.
Thank you for your call, Mary. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Your turn to talk.
I will talk.
Yes.
Chris.
Actually, I have a text message from people saying that they're poking their tongues out, but they think that they're causing road rage instead of just saying hello. Anyway, your turn, Chris.
I got a bad dose of the flu late January.
Yep.
And I'm still struggling to get over it. As a consequence, about a month ago, I've completely lost my sense of taste.
Mm.
I cannot taste a damn thing. And so, therefore, I've lost my appetite, everything. Got any ideas?
Oh, how's your nose, Chris? Are you smelling okay?
I'm smelling fine. That's the biggest issue because I smell things and my body waits for the hit of sweet or sour or whatever and nothing comes.
Okay.
Everything's bland as.
Oh. Oh, Chris. I think one thing that's really important is to make sure that you are hydrating well when you're eating, because you do need that sort of dissolution of the foods to get into the little crypts around your taste buds. Hang in there. I think that if it's not getting better, it might be worth going to speak to someone about it just to check to make sure that everything is in order and that your tongue's looking fine. I've found that some people who do have difficulty with taste, it may be useful to look more at textures of your foods to create some excitement, and also heat. So things like chili can also help with making food more enjoyable until your taste recovers.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your call. I'm sorry we can't go any further with it because we've run out of time, Tammy. But gee, you're good.
Oh, thanks, Libby, for having me.
Who would have thought that Tongue Talk would do that to us this morning? Tammy Yap, dentist, specialist in tongue health. I'm sorry if we couldn't get to your call. Lots of great texts. Please stop poking your tongue out at people across Victoria because we might get ourselves into trouble.